welcome to another episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast where we talk about horror movies, whether they're spooky, scary ones, or more that are a little on the funny comedic side. We'll bring you horror news sometimes, and then we'll tell you about just some of the everyday horror things we got going on in our lives. Joining me, as always, in the House of Horror, we have the co-host, Jefferson Miller.
You know what's horrifying?
What's that?
You know, minimum wage in the United States.
Man, you really bring the... Oh, here we go.
Bring the humor.
We bring that hard-hitting horror...
Journalism.
...really home to everybody.
Hurwitz's House of... Horrors.
Yep, that's exactly what this podcast is called. And now everyone knows why. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Not doing too bad.
Is something
rough
wrong?
Rough start.
What's going on?
Just, you know, vampires are spooky.
Draculas are very scary.
Yeah, they scare me.
What else scares you, Jeff?
Spiders.
And?
Heights.
And?
Death.
All of these are things to be genuinely terrified of.
Yeah, those are all pretty spooky ones, you know?
We will be talking about some Draculas later on, so don't get too scared, Jeff.
That one echoed.
It sure did. It kind of got me, man.
Got to get that, you know, that blood pumping.
Jesus, all right.
Well, we still have blood in our veins. We have to make sure it's pumped through that heart.
It's for all of the Draculas to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome back.
Keep it juicy.
Everyone, we hope you're juicy and filled with blood like we are today. Well, I guess let's move into it, Jeff. What time is it?
Oh, just checking my watch here. It's Hurwitz's House of... Uh-oh. Fuck. Uh-oh. I'm panicking.
I can tell.
Help me. Horror Hour.
Let's start
Good
off...
start.
Thanks. Let's start off with you, Jeff. What do you got for us this week?
What do I have for the Horror Hour? Nothing. Nothing.
You haven't been catching up on Buffy again?
Nope. No Buffy, no Frasier. Nothing really.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got a few things.
Oh. Well, excuse me.
Sorry.
Do you have anything for the Horror Hour?
I got a few things I'd like about, Jeff. So first of all, I just want to bring up the movie Evil Dead Rise, which was something I saw a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have been so excited to see this movie. I don't remember the last time I've been this excited for a movie. I think it was No Time to Die. And after that, I just gave up on movies for the longest time.
So what'd you think of it?
I thought it was absolutely amazing. Jeff, I was not let down by this movie. So let me tell you, it is bloody. It is gory. It has comedic elements in it.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, there were a lot of references to the other movies, all of them actually, that they placed throughout with, you got them keen eyes, you'll definitely be able to spot. There is a chainsaw, there is a cheese grater. I actually got a t-shirt that came in today from Fright Rags. It says Evil Dead Rise on it and it has the cheese grater.
Ew.
Yeah, I'll be honest, not too many spoilers, but because if you haven't seen this movie, I definitely recommend it. But the cheese grater, I thought, was going to get a little bit more play. But when it comes into play, it's pretty gross.
Okay.
I mean, like, the acting is really good. The direction that they took this in, again, it's very much isolated in this one area. In the previous movie, it's been in a cabin in the woods. It is now in a high rise in Los Angeles. But they do a good job of setting it up where it's very, like I said, isolated in this one like apartment and this one floor. The director also brought some new things in that I haven't seen before in the Evil Dead series, which I think is like brilliant because don't get me wrong, I love what we've been seeing, but the director was able to put in these new things that added to the lore. And I think like can now connect all of these movies in one universe if they really wanted to. All right, everyone check the time codes. I'm going to talk about spoilers right now. So they set it up where there are now three books of the dead, and that links the first one that Ash dealt with, that Bruce Campbell's character did. Then you could say that the one that Mia finds in the Evil Dead remake is the second of the books. And then there's this third one. And so technically, again, this could be one shared universe.
It feels very similar to like what they did with Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Kind of, except for that was a full reboot. But
true. But I think that is a brilliant way to leave things open, because Sam Raimi has been like a producer on all of these movies and has had a hand, and Bruce Campbell had a hand in this one too. So if things go well, which they have been, because the numbers have come in from the weekend, and this movie on about an estimated, I think it was a $19 million budget, did extraordinarily well. So here in the United States, it has made about $23.5 million. Whoa. And internationally, it has made about $16.8 million. So that brings it to about $40 million just in its opening weekend. Again, damn, on a budget of estimated $19 million. So with any luck, I think with the great reviews we've been seeing, like, we're going to see more of these movies, I hope. Mm-hmm. These new characters that were introduced, I think, were really good. I'm going to say don't get too attached to anybody. And Yeah, like I said, there were some elements that I hadn't seen to kind of keep this fresh. There are some demons that do some things that I think, like, I'm not trying to spoil things. Like, I want people to enjoy this as much as I did. But there, just keep an eye out for some of the new elements added. They really add, I think, to this universe. And again, I haven't seen it before. And it's nice having something fresh inserted into this franchise, which I don't think has gotten tired yet, but they're still keeping it surprising for us fans here. I also want to give a shout out to one of the actors. It is a child actor. She is not annoying. She's actually really good. This is her her feature film debut. And she did spectacular, and I was actually rooting for her. And
that's rare, I feel like, especially in this genre. Mm-hmm. I feel like kids are often written to be really annoying and make really horrible, unrealistic decisions.
Yeah. Again, she did great. I can't imagine like how much fun it must be to be a kid and be on a set of just like buckets of blood happening and like the special effects and shit. And you're just like, this is weird.
I would probably, as a child, I would have been terrified.
Probably.
Yeah.
This movie, I think, runs about an hour 35 or something.
Pretty good length then.
Yeah, like it has a buildup. I don't think it's a slow buildup. It's a nice burn, though, to get to where you're going. And mm-hmm. then once things start, they do not stop and they keep going. And I felt like I knew when the end was coming. I was like, oh, it's built up to this bit. This is, you know, the finale. And I found myself a little disappointed, not by the finale, but because it was ending. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I want to see more of what's going on in this part of the Evil Dead universe, because it's so cool. It's so bloody. I do have to say, I think it is less, I don't know if grotesque is the right word, but it is less in your face gore than the remake was. Fede Alvarez, I think he was the director of that one. We have discussed before, mm-hmm. there's that scene of the girl with the razor down her tongue. Yeah. And there are scenes of like people chopping off their limbs. I will say, unfortunately, no one really lost any limbs in this movie, except for like a kid who gets his arms teared off and he gets thrown across the room.
I mean, but it sounds like he lost his limbs.
But like, you witness that through a peephole. It's not like one of the main characters lost a limb.
Oh, okay.
And that is always kind
your
of been
standards
a staple.
Are really high.
Yeah. You know, Bruce Campbell, Ash lost his hand in mm-hmm. The Evil Dead's, and Mia lost her entire arm in the remake. The main character in this one did not. So maybe there's more to come. And
right. It leaves you wanting, which is the best place to be.
And walking out of that movie, I was like pumped up, and I still am. I texted you mm-hmm. and you were like, cool, man. glad I didn't see that with
you.
And I think I might revisit this one in the theaters.
Wow.
It's not often that I've done that. Funnily enough, I think the last time I saw a movie a second time was with No Time to Die.
There you go. So were your expectations going in, like, were your expectations exceeded? Or did you expect it to be this good? Or were you kind of like, I don't know how it's going to be?
I was leaning more towards that, although I was trying to temper my expectations because of the like Rotten Tomatoes score that had been released. It came out at 96%. And I think it's, you know, wavered a little bit. I think it's gone down to about like 86, 84 or something. But, you know, that's always going to happen. But it's still certified fresh. And I know we shouldn't take Rotten Tomatoes like at face value, but I still kind of, we'll base some of my opinions on a movie.
Yeah, I'll glance at it. I'll check it out. Yeah, most of the time I'm kind of like, whatever.
I feel like if there's not a lot of controversy around a movie,
right?
Like, you won't have fans of something just
review bombing something.
It. Yeah.
Or if you go in and it's like 1%, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, okay, well, I may not agree with everyone, but if almost 100% of people that go see this think it's bad, then chances are.
Yeah. So my expectations were definitely met. I don't know if they were exceeded because I don't really know what I envisioned.
Right.
I knew what I wanted, and
I got
my gore and I got my blood. I got my chainsaws and I got some weird things I didn't expect to. Like off the bat, when this movie starts, just a girl gets her fucking scalp ripped off. It's crazy.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I didn't go see this. You did ask me to go twice.
I did. I might have to ask you a third time. You know, there's that rule of threes.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe I'll say yes.
I'll just wear you down. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fine. I'll go see this great movie, dude.
And then at the last second, I just duck into a different theater.
You go see The Flash or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that is, I could honestly talk about this movie a whole lot. I went to go see this with my friend Marissa, and I have a reaction of her and I coming right out of the movie. So I'm going to put that in.
The two of you should do an episode.
Because
you know I'm not going to watch it.
I know.
So I can't be on the episode.
I know, but.
But you guys should. Hey, Marissa, are you listening? Maybe. I'm officially inviting you to this podcast to record.
Has asked to be a guest on.
Movies episode. If that makes sense.
Interesting. You know, maybe, yeah, we will have to maybe do like the Evil Dead franchise at one point and we'll have her on for that. Or another one, Marissa. But I'm going to put that clip in of us here. All right. I'm here with Marissa right now. We just got out of Evil Dead Rise. And I just want to get your reaction. Marissa, hello.
Hi.
What did you think of this movie?
Well, I've seen all the Evil Dead so far, and I was really stoked that they did another one. It was probably the most blood I've seen in a movie in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Very gruesome. A lot of cringy injuries in the movie for sure. But overall, 6 out of 10, I guess.
All right. Did you think this was a scary movie?
For the first part, I did, yes. The second half got a little, I don't want to say comedic, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that definitely scary for some people, but I think there was definitely enough blood, and I like a bit of the comedic elements that they incorporate. And I, just coming out of this, I'm going to give this probably like an 8 out of 10. I definitely recommend. Do you recommend this movie, Marissa?
I do recommend this film. That's pretty good.
All right. Thank you so much, Marissa.
You're welcome.
So again, I am
good clip.
Thanks, man. So again, like I am still like psyched about this movie. I loved it a lot.
Nice. That's always fun, especially like being older. I feel like a lot of times we do the thing where we're like, well, let's temper our expectations. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like takes the fun out of it. Or we go see it and it's like, that was fine.
Yeah.
So when you go see something you're excited about and it's like just as good as you wanted it to be, that's always so exciting.
That's one of those things that comes with getting older is you just lose faith in everything around you and your expectations die. You know, I was like, I caught myself just passing by a mirror the other day and I just like had to do a double take. So I was like, Jesus Christ.
And then you just looked into your own eyes and the camera slowly zooms in and
hello,
it plays.
Darkness, my old friend, I've come to sit with you again.
And it just slowly zooms into the blackness of your eye and the camera fades to black.
And then I found myself in Evil Dead and I was like, oh, I love my life.
Whoa, what the hell? Whoa, cool. Yay.
So yeah, I recommend this movie, especially if you're an Evil Dead fan. This will hopefully meet everyone's expectations. I'm going to just call out that one guy that we brought up who went to the South by Southwest screening who said that movie sucked. That
Ronald.
Dude can eat just the biggest bag of farts that he's ever experienced.
Yeah, go suck on that fart bag, idiot.
Great movie. I think this is just like a good movie for horror fans in general, even if you're not a fan of the series. It has enough to keep people, I think, entertained. It is bloody, it is gory, and it is fun.
Good to know.
Yeah. Before we move on, I just want to say Evil Dead 2 is still gonna be my top, but this one is for sure up there. Moving along, Jeff, I did bring up last week that I saw a movie called The Pope's Exorcist, but I had to kind of glance over that because we were running a little low on time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll bring that up now. Have you seen a trailer for this movie?
I believe I saw part of a trailer.
It has Russell Crowe as a Pope he's The Pope's Exorcist. It's the name of the movie.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah. Who plays the Pope?
Some old white guy.
Okay.
What else is new, huh?
Right.
Ayo, the Vatican, am I right?
Yeah.
Got him. Well, it felt very much like a generic exorcist movie. Like once you've seen one, you've seen them all. A kid gets inhabited by some sort of demon.
It's always a child.
And you know what? The entire time I was like, this would be a kid who would get inhabited by a demon. He just, like, no shade to this kid, but
he deserved it.
He's just got like these big eyes, like this nerdy haircut.
Yeah, stupid nerd. He deserved it.
It's just like, this is a weird kid. And of course a demon would come for you, man.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry stupid about nerd. That. So this family like gets this abbey or whatever. They inherit it from their dead father whose family had it, and they're going to fix it up and live there for a little bit while they fix it up. But you secretly learn that there was some sort of demon who couldn't get fully exorcised, and the Vatican hid away. And this one monastery is like one of the cursed places on earth. I think there's maybe like 100, and they buried the secret, but then it gets let out into this kid, and this demon wants to inhabit Russell Crowe. I keep wanting to say Kurt Russell. I get those names confused all the time. It wants to inhabit Russell Crowe and then make its way into the Vatican to take it down from the inside.
Do you think this whole movie is an analogy
for
the issues plaguing the Catholic Church?
Wouldn't surprise. Well, they
try and bury the secret. It is unearthed and it, you know,
yeah.
Enters a young child.
It's wow.
Yeah.
That went way deeper than I thought it was.
Ew.
It was.
Steve.
That's not what I meant.
That's inappropriate.
So one of the things that I did enjoy about this movie, it seemed pretty standard, but I think Russell Crowe. See, God damn it. Russell Crowe. Thanks, man. I think he actually made this movie better. I think, honestly, he's a great actor.
I agree.
If you get on his bad side, he'll throw a phone at your head. So don't do that. He didn't throw it at a demon this time, but that demon better watch out.
Oh,
I think he does add an element to this. And it is also funny hearing him talking in an Italian accent because it's not great.
I feel like he's been doing that a lot recently.
I'm a Russell the Crow.
He had a Greek accent in the Thor movie, Italian accent in this.
Was it Greek?
You're just fucking around now.
Yeah.
It was Greek, yeah. I mean, you know, it was supposed to be.
He was very good in this movie for the most part. I think he's fun to watch. And they did have an element that made this movie a little more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was
3D.
I wish.
Me too.
Oh God, that would have been insane. So they made it. Or they added in this bit where the demon was the reason why, like, the church had committed all of these horrible acts, like the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition or whatever.
Or, you know, any other kind of other things that are happening.
Like, this demon is one of, like, the head demons or whatever, and it inhabited someone so close in the church that everyone thought they were doing these acts in the name of God, but they were, in fact, doing it in the name of a demon.
And then when the credits rolled at the very bottom, it said, it's not our fault. The demons made us do all the bad stuff you don't like us for.
I didn't say
sponsored by the Catholic Church.
I didn't stay for the after credits, but it could have.
Yeah, I read that on comicbookmovie.com.
Of course, the infamous and well
funded.
Yep.
Website. Yeah, and they just they like to spoil after credits there. So that's where I saw that one.
It was overall like not the worst thing I've seen. I think maybe I enjoyed it a little bit more because I had also watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Huddy the night before.
Right.
So everything was just out of
your standards were real low.
Yeah. You know, it's not a bad exorcism movie. I think there is some lady who blows up and it's just like a bag of blood and it's pretty cool. And there's
Does anybody control bees?
No.
Okay. See, yeah. I'll pass.
So I think that, the one thing I wanted to bring up about this movie is what we're talking about, how a lot of movies these days set up, like when they make a movie, they don't have it as its own thing. They try and like plant all these little seeds for a bigger, wider universe.
Right. There's always an after credit being like, oh, maybe we'll make 8 more.
Even that, but they'll just like do it throughout the main movie.
Right.
So it doesn't exactly, it doesn't stand on its own. Like if you took those elements out, it's like, I don't know what this is. This movie did set it up where, as I mentioned, that there are these places on earth that are touched by the devil and are hell on earth, essentially. And at the end, Russell Crowe enlists his Pope buddy, and then the church hires him to go like to all of these spots. They end up going into like this, I don't know what this is, but it reminds me of like a Shield office, but like the church designed it because it's all like high tech and sleek and white. And like the main, it's not the Pope, but somebody's like, all right, Russell Crowe, we've found the map and deciphered where the other locations of these unholy places on Earth are. Would you like to take this upon your hands? And Russell Crowe is like, that'd be a job, a really hard job for one man. What if it was two? And he looks at his Pope buddy and they like do a little handshake.
And they're like,
kind of.
Fuck yeah.
And so it
Pope
does
bros.
At the end set it up where, I mean, I would watch another movie of Russell
It's just them
Crowe.
Traveling around trying to convert people to Christianity. Look at all these heathens. It just shows like atheists.
Or yeah.
It's like students. Hey, yeah, I don't go to church, you son of a bitch. And they come in on the fucking X-Men jet.
Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Drop out.
Russell Crowe. But I would watch a sequel.
I would watch
of this.
That. You're right.
That one and an actual sequel. I'm not sure how it's doing number wise at the box office. I haven't really been following it. But like I said, Russell Crowe is a very entertaining man to watch. And I like demon stuff. That's always been an interest of me in like horror movies and the devil. Maybe it's because I personally don't, I don't know. This is entertaining to me. People being inhabited and just like an absolute evil. I think it's always been interesting. So I didn't think it was the worst movie. And the little twists they put on it, I think were decent. And I wouldn't recommend this to everybody. If you like exorcisms and stuff like that, give it a check out.
So we don't spoil it for the audience, but I want to know the twist. You're talking about maybe a twist? Just whisper
well,
to me.
Well, it was the thing that I said about how it like the church was committing these acts of heinousness in the name of the devil. To round out the horror news here, I'm going to venture back into the land of video games.
Beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, beep. Video games.
I finally beat the, is that the new video games theme?
I don't know.
I finally beat Resident Evil 4, the remake. It's still a lot of fun. And I mean, I've kind of gone over that, but here's what I want to bring up. I now have gone back into playing Resident Evil 8, the VR. The first person shit. And I got up to one of those bits where it's actually super spooky. You go in this house that's filled with these dolls that will go flying around and shit.
Right.
I think this is actually one of the scariest bits of the game because you end up going down into this basement area and like some weird psychological shit happens and you lose all your weapons. And then I actually had to turn the game off because I remember that this is the bit where you get chased around in the dark by this fetus creature, like this deformed fetus baby thing. And it's like, it like takes up the space of the hallways and it's like
what the fuck?
Crying like and I remember being really freaked out by that, and the thought of having to do that now in first person made me stop and save the game and say it is technically 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe I'll wait till daylight even though it won't make a difference because I'm wearing something on my head.
Wouldn't that suck if you're playing that your power went out?
Yeah
As it tends to do in your place?
There have been some times. That's during storms, okay, Jefferson? there have been times, though, when I maybe haven't had my headphones in all the way properly, and then I'll hear, like, some creakings just because that's what my apartment does, and I immediately just, like, flip the head thing up, the headset, and I'm like, ah!
It's because your apartment's haunted. It's not because of storms.
I mean, just that fucking dude next to you. Did you like how I pointed E.T. to be looking more at you than at me?
Yeah.
Does that make you uncomfortable?
No, I like it.
I hate you.
We're friends.
Well, I think that is my horror Howard news. I don't really have anything news topic-wise that we've talked about in the past couple episodes. I guess the numbers thing from Evil Dead was about it. So that wraps up my horror Howard end here. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we move into our main topic, Jeff?
No.
So, Jeff, you did mention that you were terrified of Dracula's, correct?
Yeah, horrified.
Well, I hope you are holding on to your seat tightly.
Well, why?
Because this week we're talking about some scary Draculas. Actually, we're talking about one Dracula in particular, the main Dracula, or maybe he's a Dracula.
Dracula. But he's more not like Dorkula.
But he's not on a boat or a ship this time.
Where is he?
He's right behind you.
Oh!
Nah, he's not.
Oh.
He's in our movies that we watched this
He's
week.
In New Orleans?
Is that where? No, weren't they in LA?
I don't know. I think he's New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's somewhere, and he's here in the United States.
Whoop.
This week, We are discussing the main Dracula of all Draculas, the Count Dracula, the Prince of Darkness.
He who sucks the most blood. The tallest, darkest Dracula.
Well, we are talking about him, but we're also talking about his assistant, too. A little known man called Jonathan Renfield. I don't think that's his actual name. What's his full name?
Robert.
Robert Renfield. I almost said Redfield. Wait, who am I talking about?
You just said Radenfield. What movie did you just watch?
I don't know. A Robert Redford movie.
Dracula's main assistant, Robert Redford.
That's what Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is actually about. Robert Redford and Dracula.
Yeah. That's what we just watched.
This week, we're talking about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeehaw! Give me that blood!
This week, we're talking about the movie Renfield from 2023, directed by Chris McKay.
Let me explain. I work for Dracula.
Count Dracula? It's the real Dracula!
Some call me the Dark One. Others, the Lord of Death.
So you bring in people to eat?
Well, I do other stuff.
Like what? Wash his cape?
No, the cape is dry clean only, strictly.
Yeah, I will wear this fly, yeah.
Then I think he's such a bad guy. But you're never really going to be free until you face him.
Let's have our Jeff summary of this movie. Jeff.
Alrighty. This movie is about...
Keep going.
Excuse me?
I'm really sorry.
This movie is about Count Dracula. More specifically about Count Dracula's little buddy who helps him collect bodies to chomp on. And, you know, he's been doing it for a while and he's not the biggest fan of it. He's kind of a weak little man who wants to be more. And there's also a cop who is sad about her dad who was killed. And they might be New Orleans or something like that.
Who's to say?
Yeah, or L.A. We don't really know.
Nope. Well, this movie stars Nicholas Holt as the title character himself, Renfield. You may recognize Nicholas Holt from such things as...
X-Men, First Class.
He was... Beast. Arr. Not Kelsey Grammer. Well, he was Beast in X3. We also have Awkwafina playing Rebecca, the cop whose father was murdered or killed. Who's to say? And then we have Nicolas Cage as Dracula himself.
Dracula.
And to round out the cast, we have Ben Schwartz as the antagonist of this movie. A few other names as well, but those are the main ones that this movie focuses on. So this movie starts off with Renfield in a bit of a support group. He's talking about how he has lived many, many years in the service of Dracula, and he's kind of found himself in a rut. He battled some vampire hunters like hundreds of years ago, and that ended up leaving Dracula in a bit of a bad place.
Yeah, it's like... He's like, this happens all the time. Like, it's always vampire hunters bring Dracula close to death. And he's like in this case, they pop the window open and he almost burned alive. And he's like a charred, shriveled skeleton. And then he has to slowly recover over the years.
Do you think this was the last situation that he got?
I was trying to think, is that him just explaining it? Or was that the last time? And he's been slowly healing this whole time?
That's what I sort of thought, because... The vampire hunters, the Dracula hunters, catch him in some sort of ring. What is it called?
I don't remember, but it's like a, you know, if you've ever seen like Supernatural, or it's like a ring of some kind of powder, usually salt.
Yeah. And then he got burned by the sunlight, right. And he got like pretty messed up. And so I was trying to figure out maybe if that was the last time he had been like severely hurt.
Yeah, possibly.
Because he was like bone sort of. Yeah. He was like bones
with some burned flesh on it. Yeah. He's like, arr, arr, arr.
And I got to say, like, Nicolas Cage is awesome as Dracula.
Yeah, he was great. His normal, you know, super weird self. I also do like how they did, like, the whole intro, how they explained all that was all like in black and white, very much like the I don't know, was it? I don't know what the original was called, but
I think it was just Bram Dracula? Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, right. But Dracula. Like, I was really impressed by that. And that was a really fun way for the whole thing to like start,
because it was like shot for shot. Just recreations of those scenes.
Right. Like that main scene that everyone knows where the light is like across Dracula's eyes and he's kind of in shadow.
or the scene of him standing up on the staircase or whatever, right, and he's holding like the candles.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's brilliant.
So fun.
And the black and white, yeah, added a really good factor into that. Mm-hmm. It was really cool to watch. So yeah, he's been going to the support group in something that reminded me of Dexter. So it's the support group where everyone is like, I need to leave my partner. I'm
it's like about codependency.
Yeah. Which ends up being a big message in this movie.
Which I think was surprising
pretty
to
interesting.
Me.
Yeah. It was like throughout the entire thing and
kind of goofy
came together in the end. But Renfield is going to these to get Dracula victims. He is going after these people's partners in these groups who are treating them terribly or putting them in shitty situations. Like I said, in a Dexter way, he's like hunting serial killers in Dexter. This he's hunting just shit.
Just predatory, like significant others, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In this latest endeavor, I think it's someone named Carol or Carrie or something. Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend steals drugs from those big, I don't know, what you call it, like a cartel? Like just this
yeah,
big.
Yeah, basically, it's like a crime family. Yeah.
Yeah, the Lobos. And they have a bunch of coke, and Renfield goes after them to get them for Dracula because Dracula, of course, needs their blood to slowly come back from whatever has happened to him recently. He's, again, a gross, deformed blob of a man, sort of. And this movie gets pretty gruesome fast.
Yeah. Yeah. The level of gore way higher than I expected.
Same.
But in a way, we've talked about this before. It was like comical.
Yeah. It was amounts. Not. Yeah. It wasn't like.
It wasn't serious. Like focused on the pain as much as like just volumes of blood.
It's like, can your body do this weird thing? It can. Oh, then it will also explode.
Right. And like way more than realistic. Like the gore was not even close to realistic in this movie.
Not one bit. Which, yeah, you're right. Added a comedic factor into this movie. So he goes after these drug dealers and he uses like anesthetic or anesthesia to start to knock them out because he's going to take them back to Dracula. But then like this other guy, like the Lobo's enforcer comes out there.
Yeah, like they hired a hitman.
Huge fight between them. And a little background on Renfield. He is Dracula's familiar. Mm-hmm. So he possesses some sort of power, but he is essentially Dracula's slave. I don't know if this is the case in Renfield, like his lore, but he eats bugs and then he gets essentially like Dracula powers.
Yeah, it's like because Dracula sucks the life force out of people for his power, he like eats the life force out of little bugs and for his like mini powers.
Container of bugs that he keeps with him.
Yeah. He'll
just like pop one in and kick some ass.
Yeah, it's like a little tiny coffin. Yeah. Which is funny. I like that part too.
So he fights this enforcer and there are scenes of him like getting just beat up by this guy and he gets stabbed a few times and he gets his stomach cut open and you see like his guts and his like,
intestines. That happens to him a few times in this movie.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal.
Yeah.
And then it ends with Renfield, I think, punching this dude's
kicking
head
it
off.
Punching his head off of his body.
After he stabs him a few times with a pen.
Yeah. And that's a pretty good like indicator of what the rest of the movie is like. He punches a giant dude's head off into the street.
Yep. As this head flies into the street, it smashes into Ted Lobo's car. And Ted Lobo is the son of the main Lobo family.
Yeah, his mom is the head of the crime family. Yeah. And that's Ben Schwartz's character.
That's correct.
Who, if you don't recognize his name, shame on you. But he, you might recognize him as John Ralphio from Parks and Rec or
Sonic the Hedgehog as Sonic. The voice of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, yeah. He's in The After Party. I mean, any number of things.
He's a great comedian. You've seen him a few times, right?
Mm-hmm. Live, yeah.
I hear it's pretty good. But this head hits the car and this freaks him out and he goes careening off in his car where he smashes into a DUI checkpoint. And that's where we meet Awkwafina's character, Rebecca. She is just a cop wanting to do her best, but she's been stuck on this kind of shitty beat. Ben Schwartz's character, Ted, I think that's his name, right?
Yeah, Ted.
Ted crashes and he tries sprinting and Awkwafina's character takes him down.
Yeah, and they do a quick little exposition here where clearly they have a history where she's always trying to take down members of the Lobo family and they're always getting away free. And so she's like, I'm going to get him this time. Like, I'm going to chase him down. And
well, as you said, that's exactly what happens. The next scene, they're in like the police station and she's saying, we've got him this time. And then just some lawyer walks in and he just flips off the entire police station and walks right out. And she's like, what's going on? And there are some bits in this movie that are very just like on the nose exposition. Because the police chief comes up and he's like, well, you know, ever since your father was killed, he was the goodest cop here on the force. And I was told I was going to take care of you and I'm going to do that for him. And, you know, you are not a bad cop. And it's just like, oh, OK, that's, well, this is her character.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie in a lot, I'll just say this real before we even get really deep into it. A lot of funny parts.
Yes.
The more serious elements of the story were total just not generic.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Like you said, the chief coming out and saying a bunch of lines you could probably pull from any yeah. other movie. It's like, OK, whatever.
And then immediately after the scene, we meet her sister who works for the FBI. Mm-hmm. And her sister's like, you've always been like this. I'm sorry we didn't get the Lobos this time, too. After they murdered Dad, maybe if you weren't such a hothead, you know, you'd be promoted faster. And it's just like, right. All right,
cool. Like, OK, we get it. You're just burning through exposition now.
So she storms away. We go back to Renfield. He's dragging the bodies of the three men that he killed and this enforcer. Mm-hmm. And then we finally see Nick Cage's Dracula. And he, again, is just this.
He's looking a little better.
He needs the blood of innocence. And that's mm-hmm. a very big thing about this. And he's also just like haranguing Renfield, because Renfield at these meetings he's been going to, he's starting to like feel like one of these people. He's seeing how he's been mistreated mm-hmm. and he just wants to change things.
He's like, I just want to have my own life and not be harassed by this dude all the time and have to do his bidding.
And Dracula like goes hard at him too for a minute. And then he tries to use some of that logic on him. He's like, you know, you deserve better, because he brought him these bodies that weren't of the innocent, and Dracula can taste that in the blood that he's sucking. And this message comes in to play a little later on. Mm-hmm. But Dracula makes these lines. He says these things like, I need you to bring me just like a bunch of nuns or
a busload of cheerleaders or
just the innocent people.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, cool. I'll do that. Fine.
There's also this really cool, like the way Dracula's den is set up.
Oh, yeah. It's set up in an
abandoned hospital, because they're like, we can't, you know, there are no castles now.
Yeah.
But there's like all these blood bags like hanging behind Dracula in this huge, like,
I didn't realize those were blood bags.
Yeah. And all the tubes from the bags are going into like this throne. It's pretty cool.
That is really
cool. Like the way the set was set up.
So I guess it's probably the next day or the mm-hmm. next evening at this point. Rebecca, Awkwafina's character, finds the pen that Renfield stabbed a few people with, and it has the logo of this one restaurant that he goes to try and find people to bring back to Dracula. And we have her character going to this restaurant where Renfield is hanging out at once again. There's a funny scene where you see just a bunch of nuns in a corner, and then you see a school bus of cheerleaders come on in.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, what are the fucking chances?
Yeah, because clearly he's trying to like not kill innocent people. So he's like, oh, I'll try and avoid it. And then he's sitting. Yeah, exactly. He's surrounded by it.
We also have Ted. His character wants to kill Rebecca because his mother is like, you're embarrassing us. And she's like the only good cop on the force. Get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of them end up sort of running into each other
and at this restaurant.
This is, I think, one of the three big set pieces that mm-hmm. we get, one of the big three action scenes.
And I got to say, before we get too much further, I don't think we're going to do a kill count.
No.
For one, because we don't have notes.
Yeah.
And two, because there's just way too many kills.
There are quite a few.
Spoiler alert, bunch of people die in this scene, and it would just be while we're talking, so we're just gonna just gloss over that.
Like there are some good highlight kills in this, though. There's a
totally
scene.
We'll bring those ones up at least.
So Rebecca goes in and Renfield tries leaving because he thinks the cops are onto him, and that's when Ted comes in and they're all wearing like these masks, and there's this
confrontation. They're weird like wolf masks.
His
crime
like
family
that.
Is I think is like wolf. All it their stuff is wolves.
Huh.
Yeah, there's like his car has a wolf decal inside of it, and it's snorting a big line of cocaine.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's goofy.
And then I kind of like the wolf and the vampire, the Dracula type
totally.
Deal. I didn't really put those two together.
Me neither.
That's neat.
So yeah, they come in. I totally didn't put that together. They come in wearing these like kind of weird, almost like scarecrow masks, but they're wolves with all their, you know, AR-15s and stuff. And that's where everyone comes to head for the first time.
There's a confrontation between Rebecca and Ted, and Rebecca's like, well, you killed my dad. And Ted is like, if you say you're one of us in front of all these people, I won't kill you. And Rebecca's just like, fucking shoot me.
And she's like, do it.
And in a bit of the scuffle, when all of the criminals come in, Renfield gets knocked over and he drops his little coffin filled with bugs. So he is like watching this fly as it gets closer and closer. And he's also paying attention to the conversation between Ted and Rebecca.
Yeah, this is where she catches his attention for the first time, because he's like, oh, she's standing up to a bully. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what I haven't been able to do with my bully.
And this inspires him, and Ted is about to shoot her in the head because the gun is right up to her. Mm-hmm. And this is when you hear the buzzing of the fly stop, and then Renfield takes action, and we have just murders left and right. Some of the highlights: people are getting shot in the head. Renfield is using a serving platter to chop off people's arms.
Yeah, he throws it like a, you know, Captain America's shield, and it cuts this dude's arms off at the elbows.
There is just people getting their neck broken, again, getting shot.
It's lots of people being stabbed with forks. Chaos. I think Ben Schwartz's character, Ted, gets stabbed in the neck with a fork.
Yeah.
But he's fine.
Well, eventually, does Ted just run away?
He takes off through like a side door, yeah. And pretty much everyone else gets killed. Mm-hmm. Except for Rebecca and
Renfield. And then everybody in the restaurant.
Yeah, because they're all ducking behind tables and stuff.
And they're both like, hey, good job. And he kind of is like, I like what you did. I can't believe you did that. How did you do that? Mm-hmm. She's like, well, you just got to stick up for yourself and be a hero. Like, you were here today. You saved all of these innocent people. And they use that word innocent so much throughout this.
And he's like, wait a second. I saved lives. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, take them or like deliver them to this evil creature. And he's like, oh, I like the way that feels. Mm-hmm.
This inspires him to go to the meeting group again. And he hasn't really said anything. He's always just listened to stories and again, used the group to find people to bring to Dracula. But now he sits down and he's like, I am in a terrible, shitty
relationship.
It's been in the trailers and it's kind of funny just the way he describes it. And then he's like, my boss wants world domination.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, totally. Like, you know, they all think he's speaking and, you know.
But if you were to stop focusing on his needs, what would happen?
If I don't.
Yeah, what would happen? Stop focusing on his needs. What would happen?
He won't grow to full power.
Exactly. He won't grow to full power. What? That's so weird. Why would you phrase it like that? But yes, he's right.
And they start to give him these words of affirmation and he starts to believe in himself a little bit more. And he's like, you know what? It's time to change my life. And there's a bit of a montage where he cleans himself up. He redecorates his apartment. You see him painting everything bright colors and trying to
make like all his clothing in his apartment's all like super bright pastels, like pinks and light greens and oranges. And
he's making those changes in his life. We go back to Rebecca, and I think no one at the restaurant has come forward as a witness, right? Or no one will give a statement.
Yeah, they're all too scared.
And that's when Renfield shows up, and he's wearing this awesome sweater, by the way. I want to say he had great clothes
sweater.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm ready to give a statement. And he does. Rebecca, once again, is like, you know, you're doing these good things. You're standing up for yourself, and that's what we have to do. The Lobo family is very upset because Renfield just killed like so many of their enforcers and their like, you know, soldiers. And so they use some high tech technology to find out where he's been going. And the head of the family, she sends her son, Ted, and a bunch of people to Renfield's last known location, which is this abandoned hospital. And that's where they go in and meet Dracula.
Yeah.
Dracula murders everyone but Ted, of course. And we learn that Dracula has come up with this plan of world domination now. Before, he just wanted to suck the blood of the innocent. Mm-hmm. But because of some of the things that Renfield had said to him like the previous night, he's now like, I'm going to go for the White House. I'm going to enslave all of humanity. He starts talking to Ted for some reason. Oh, Ted tells him that they were here looking for Renfield. And he shows him a picture of him. Ted drops again the word innocent left and right, how he saved a bunch of innocent people in this restaurant. And that really upsets Dracula because that's all that he wants. And now he's like, I feel betrayed. And they decide to team up a little bit.
Yeah, they're like, all right, we're going to have an alliance then.
Ted starts telling Dracula, like, I have a crime family. We can help you if you don't kill me or something like that.
He's like, oh, so you have soldiers that can, you know, do my bidding. And he's like, I mean, sure.
If it will keep you from killing me right
we
now.
We also like the same, like death and power. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
We're back with Renfield. He returns to his apartment, and inside of his apartment is Dracula.
Dracula sitting and waiting for him, sipping on a blood martini.
He's also looking a lot better. He's been healing, and the scenes that we've been
going every scene we revisit, he's a little bit better.
Yeah. They have this huge talk about how Dracula feels betrayed, and Renfield at first is like, I'm sorry, you know, I wasn't trying to upset you. But then he tries to stick up for himself a little bit, and he starts using like this self-help book, like, I deserve better.
Yeah.
And Dracula just,
I love myself, and all these like affirmations, and Dracula doesn't like that.
He does not. And then he sees where Renfield got this book from, and it's at the church. Or is it a church?
Yeah, it says property of like Life Church or something like that. It's right. Just one of those things where, you know, support groups who meet up in churches.
And of course, it's the church.
Right.
The enemy of Dracula.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this sends Dracula into a bit of a killing frenzy. So it's pretty much a race between Renfield and Dracula going to where these meetings are held. Renfield runs in and he's like, everyone, we need to leave. Oh, and something I want to point out, I like that they kept in that classic Dracula element where he can't enter into a house without being invited.
Me too. That came up a couple times.
Yeah. And so Dracula got into Renfield's apartment in his studio because of a welcome mat that says, welcome, come on in.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
Yeah, you see Renfield kind of glanced down. He's like, shit.
Yeah. Like, that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, that's brilliant as like a way Dracula can just like circumvent totally. The rules, you know, a little bit. And so as Renfield is trying to get everyone out, you see a door open up and the group leader is like, hey, come on in. And Renfield's like, no. And then you just see Dracula come on by
in all his glory.
And then a bit of a murder scene happens where Dracula tosses Renfield aside, even though Renfield's trying to like say, I'll come back and work. You just don't kill these people. They're good people. Mm-hmm. And Dracula's like, well, even better. I get to kill all these good
people. He's like,
oh,
sweet. You brought me innocence finally.
Yeah. So everyone there just gets murdered, their throat slit. One guy gets bit. Is it the leader who gets bit or does he just get his throat? He gets his throat. Never mind.
That's the one thing I noticed also is he keeps talking about needing blood and drinking innocent blood and stuff. But then every chance, or at least every time we see him attack these people, he like slits their throats and stuff and then leaves their bodies. Like, I don't think I see him drink blood in really the entire movie. Unless he's like drinking it out of a martini glass.
Fancy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's one of those things where he just likes the killing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just about the murder.
He like sucks it really quick.
And if like he needs it, he can just take it. But
right.
Maybe it's because he hasn't been like hurt or anything. He doesn't need to drink
right.
it. Well, now Renfield feels pretty bad for what's happened. And of course, this is when Rebecca's character shows up.
Once Dracula pieces out.
Yeah, like as soon as he pieces out.
Yeah.
Do you remember why she went to the support
group? So she...
Oh, she ended up talking to some of the drug dealers from the beginning of the movie. It's like they're widows.
Because there was some sort of connection. They're like, yeah, she's like, wait a second. You guys are the wives of these like drug dealers and you guys are, you're hanging out? Like, how do you guys know each other? And like, oh, we were in a support group.
Yeah.
And so that's how she finds out about the support group. And then,
of course,
as soon as she goes there, she finds Renfield surrounded by a bunch of bloody dead bodies.
His hands are covered in blood. Look. It is not. So he gets arrested. And as she's putting him in the car, she asked her partner to phone it in, but apparently her partner did not necessarily do that completely.
But he phones it in to the Lobo family.
So like was,
and the police.
As was hinted before, the police are pretty much in the Lobo family's pocket. They all surround him. And the head of the Lobo family, she tries saying like, hey, there's some good stuff in this for you. There's a promotion. You'll be like get awards and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? And she's like, fuck you or whatever. And
yeah, she like shoots out a light or something and jumps in the car and speeds off with
Renfield in the back.
Renfield in the back seat.
I assume she passes out. It looks like she gets shot at a certain point or gets hit. And when she wakes up, she's in Renfield's apartment and he's just doing his best to try and make her comfortable.
He's like serving her tea and crumpets and the handcuff is just dangling off his arm. He's like, oh, hold on. Sorry. Like I'm still in your, under arrest or whatever. And he puts his handcuffs back on and he's being all polite.
This is when he essentially tells her like, hey, yeah, I served Dracula. And she doesn't really believe him. Mm-hmm. Honestly, who would? It turns out that her sister got the pen that stabbed somebody or that had blood on it.
Yeah, it was like the restaurant pen with blood on it. And it was discarded in that first scene where, you know, it doesn't really matter, but it had a bunch of people's blood on it, like criminals, and it could tie Ted to the drug dealers or something like that.
Right.
So her sister, who's in the FBI, ran it through the database and she was like, holy shit. I think it ended up being Renfield's blood.
Yeah.
She's like, this guy's blood is tied to like killings since 100, like however many years ago. This guy's like 70 or 80 years old and a serial killer and this and that.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, just Renfield collecting bodies for his master, but they don't know that yet.
So they decide to go meet the sister. And this is when we have our, I think, the second big set piece here. Mm-hmm. There's another big fight.
Where as soon as they try and leave to go meet her sister, the cops and Lobos show up yet again in SWAT gear.
They storm up and Renfield is like, I need a bug. I need something. She's like, why? It's like, you'll see. And we see this family on the floor that he lives in. They had a little interaction where he gives this kid like an ant to join his ant farm. And he just busts down the door and he grabs the ant farm from the kid and just starts pouring it into his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mom's even like, you're a bad person, Renfield. And then that's when just another battle ensues where Renfield starts kicking ass. There's a scene where a man gets both of his arms pulled off and then he gets...
They start using his arms as weapons. he throws one of the arms like a javelin.
Yeah, he throws
like
both.
A spear. Yeah, and it stabs through a person and pins them to a wall.
And the other one busts somebody through a door.
Mm-hmm.
There is a man who gets pushed up against a railing and then Renfield jumps down and it like explodes his body.
Yeah, like rips him in half, I think.
Yeah, there's just this explosion of blood. And then, of course, Rebecca is just firing off and shooting people with a gun. But mm-hmm. that's nowhere near as fun as
lots of gushing sound effects or like splatting sound effects or bone breaking sound effects. But not again in a way like none of it was like, oh, God, this is hard to watch. It's like so much of it
mm-hmm.
that it's not even, you know, doesn't faze me at all. It's like
it is one of those
a cartoon level.
Yeah. I think I've said this before where it's so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't like upsetting.
Like she would fire a pistol into a guy wearing a bulletproof vest and it would be like, it was like, what was that sound? And blood would spray out like a water balloon popping. It was like, all right.
Every stylistic time choice. Something like that happened, I was always also just like taken aback. Like, whoa, mm-hmm. okay. All right. Cool.
Like, holy
cool.
shit. Okay.
Yeah. So the fight ends. Mm-hmm. And they end up making an escape, I guess, in one of the police vehicles.
Are they in? I thought they took Ted's car. Or is that later? That's later.
That's later. Well, almost to where we are.
Yeah.
They go to the location where they're supposed to be meeting Rebecca's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Ted has now introduced Dracula to the head of the Lobo family. And there's a very funny scene, too. I think it's right before Ted gets turned into a familiar himself, where Dracula, they're talking more about like combining teams and efforts, and Dracula has his hand on Ted's shoulder.
Oh, this is so good.
They're like laughing, and Ted's like, is this a good laugh or a bad laugh? Am I going to die? Yeah. And he just keeps laughing. Yeah, like, and so Ted ends up bringing Dracula's coffin to the Lobo family, and they team up. I also just want to bring up, I like that the Lobo family, they have just like this huge fucking... like complex.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's in the middle of the city.
Totally.
I was like, oh,
because they're in the,
I guess,
you know, whatever, they own the city and they have like these massive torture rooms and stuff
mm-hmm.
that again are a stylistic choice, but everything's like lit with purple LEDs and green LEDs and stuff.
I think it's fun. It's the stylistic choices in this, I think, were very interesting. Totally. They fit the theme of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Dracula meets the head of the Lobo family and they like some sparks sort of fly.
Yeah.
They're very into each other. So that unholy union, as some might say, just happens immediately. While Renfield and Rebecca are waiting for her sister to show up, Dracula sends Renfield like this psychic message being like, I'm going to fucking get you because you've betrayed me. I'm going to just make all of these people, the entire human race, like pay a thousand times for what you've done to me. I'm going to kill you.
Right. And they also have this moment of, I feel like this was the main scene where they try to really foster the connection between Rebecca and Renfield, which, to be honest, don't really buy. I feel like they did a little bit of work in that area and she's like, at some point in the movie, she's like, I care for you. And all this, I'm like, based on what? I don't know. That whole thing was kind of goofy to me, but
I agree.
This was the main scene of them. Like, he's talking about his wife and his kid that are obviously dead now. And she's talking about her sister and her dad or whatever. And
yeah, he's talking about a lot of the guilt that he feels, right, because he was saying that he made these decisions for his family, like to work for Dracula, mm-hmm, but it was actually, he did these things himself and that he wasn't under anyone's control. And like, he chose this life instead of, I guess, supporting his family. And he's been choosing to do this. And Dracula also pushes that message on him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, it's true. I could have said no, but this is the life I chose.
Right.
Rebecca gets a phone call from the head of the Lobo family. And she's like, we have your sister. Come get us, I guess. And I guess Dracula also says that to Renfield in a psychic message. And so right, they're trying to get the two of them. I guess Dracula just wants to kill Renfield. And so does the
Lobo
family.
At this point,
family.
Yeah, he's like, they're just in our way now, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's kill them.
So they go first to this mansion. And like you mentioned, they go to the police precinct and they get an impounded car that they had of the Lobo family.
Right. That's my guess.
Even though the entire police force is now looking for them, like, they're both wanted.
Right.
I don't understand how Rebecca was able to. I guess this is just some fun element. But yeah, they take.
There is a lot. Yeah. This movie was not.
You
it's
need
goofy.
Some suspension of disbelief, yeah, here. So yeah, they take a fast driving car. And there's a little montage scene where they get like spikes and lots of guns and Renfield gets a bunch of bugs.
Right, right.
And they arrive at the Lobo family house. They go in and this is where we see that Ted has been turned into the familiar. And also like a bunch of the henchmen and the soldiers for the Lobo family have like these glowing brown eyes that you get when you activate your power.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. And they've all been chomping bugs.
This is pretty much the set piece number three. Mm-hmm. There's a big fight where we have familiars fighting familiars, heads being like crushed and exploded, people getting kicked across grand open rooms. We have shots of Ted and Rebecca fighting. Renfield ends up dispatching of all of the henchmen pretty quickly. And then it pretty much becomes a fight between the two of them. In this time, Rebecca goes into the main room where I think her sister's being held.
Yeah, I think it's where Dracula met with the head of the Lobo family or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's like maybe her main office, main room, but it's this big old room. And in there, she questions, what's her face? Right?
Rebecca?
Yeah. Doesn't she meet the head?
She meets the head of the Lobo family real quick.
She has her gun out and she's like, where's my sister at?
And she hits a button which draws these heavy metal doors over the
which
windows.
Which I like that it's a little box with a button on it that has a big label inside. This is Shades.
Yeah. And then Dracula appears and he starts telling her, hey, you should join me. Renfield, he's trash. Also, your sister's dead and I can bring her back.
Yeah, they wheel her dead body out like there. See?
And I can bring her back if you join me. Let's become a Dracula with me.
Yeah.
Renfield is fighting Ted and he is losing. Honestly,
yeah,
Ted
he's
is
getting
his
ass kicked. But I also like how Ted's like, you know, we're mirrors of each other. You're my nemesis or whatever. And Renfield's like, what? We've only met like two times or something like that. And Ted's all like hurt.
Yeah. Ted is saying like, you know, I have the ultimate power. How could you want to give this up? And Renfield keeps trying to tell him it's not what it seems. You're his slave. And Ted even lets slip like the word master for a second. He tries to catch himself.
Yeah. But,
you know, Renfield has seen this happen. He's experienced it and he does get his hands back on his little bug container and he eats a bunch. And as Ted does like this flying jump towards him, Renfield kicks him so hard in the guts that he explodes out of his mouth. And
there's
out
like
of his,
there's like a Jet Li X-ray style
it's
scene
like from
where
Mortal Kombat.
It shows. Yeah. It shows like all his bones breaking, his organs like exploding and he barfs blood.
And explodes out of his ass too.
Yeah, and out of it. That part, this whole movie felt very, if you've ever seen like Corridor Digital stuff, it's like, did you guys work on this? Because the whole thing is like, how much blood can we put in every scene? And how like silly can we make the blood happen? Like you said, there's blood shooting out of his ass and stuff. I'm like, okay.
So how does this battle end between the two?
Like that.
Does he die?
He's
dead?
I believe he's dead. Oh, definitely he's dead. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything in his body gets mushed and then he hits the ground. He's like, blood is just gurgling out of his mouth.
Right.
And then
right,
so
right.
So Renfield then finds his way into the main room and he's very much beaten. And I think he's been shot because he has like bleeding wounds. And he runs in and is like, no, like, Rebecca, don't listen to him. This is what I told you. He's very manipulative, very convincing.
He knows what he's doing.
And she's like, no, not Ted. No, like Robert or Renfield or whatever. Like, I think he's trying to be good like you and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And has this whole speech about how she's like, no, this is for the best. And I'm like, bringing my sister back.
Maybe I can help. Yeah.
Right. And she goes over and like hugs Dracula. And then we see her hand like move down in the little shade switch again, which is like, obviously that's why it has a huge fucking label on it. She reaches down and flips the switch to open the shades and nothing happens. And she's like, oh shit. And then starts like flipping it back and forth. And the shades come up and Dracula starts to burn, but then he turns into a bunch of bats and starts fucking flying around, the bats on fire.
He's done that a few times, turned into bats and
smoke.
I really like these things that they like, these bits of Dracula lore that they work in. And I don't know why, but just seeing a man turn into a bunch of bats excites me. I'm like, that's fucking cool, man.
They do a good job. They do a lot of classic. Like he had the big, huge collar when he shows up in the coffin and like the red velvet, like gold medallion and all that kind of stuff.
You know, it's Nicolas Cage, but I think he looks very good as a Dracula. He's got all those.
He looks great as Dracula. Yeah.
And yeah, like there's just something so cool about bats that turn into a man and vice versa.
Right.
Right before Rebecca tried hitting that button, I like that the shot of her, it was her in Dracula's arms. And then you see Dracula just look at Renfield and he gives him the smile. It's just like, I fucking got you, you Renfield. But yeah, then he turns into the bats and they're like burning too. And the bats chase Renfield and Rebecca into this murder room.
And like out of the sun too, to like, and they all kind of, the fire dissipates.
And Renfield, I think, is down at this point. The bats, I think, just like beat him up, I guess.
I don't remember. Yeah, I remember him just being curled up on the ground.
Yeah, they get into this next room and he's just on the ground. And then Dracula picks up Rebecca and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to kill you now. And she fires off her gun through Dracula's foot. And I didn't expect this. I was like, oh.
No, it was kind of a cool little.
Yeah. As we've, well, I don't know if we did mention, but Dracula's blood brings people back from the dead.
Yeah.
It has healing abilities.
Yeah. They showed it before where like Renfield, again, we mentioned his stomach is sliced open a few times, I think, in the movie. And in one scene, Dracula like drips some of his blood onto it and it heals.
So Dracula's like, ha, you shot me in the foot. And then you see the blood dripping down onto Renfield. And I was like, oh, shit, that's how they're going to bring Renfield, I guess, back to full health.
And then, for the first time we see Dracula. He's had spiky teeth through this whole movie, but this is the first time we see the classic two fangs like elongate out as he's about to bite into Rebecca.
He grabs Dracula, Renfield. He shoots up from the ground, grabs Dracula like around the face, and you see the fangs go through his hands, which I thought was a pretty cool shot.
Yeah.
And then Renfield tears the teeth out of his mouth.
Yeah, gross. So the two like fangs are sticking through his hands.
Then Dracula gets behind him and he's like, ha ha. And then you see the teeth grow back. I thought that was a really cool effect. That looked really, really good. And there's just both of them battling it out. And it looks like Dracula is about to have the upper hand. But in a scene that I did not expect to happen, you see Rebecca on the ground and she notices just a bunch of cocaine. And whilst Renfield and Dracula were fighting, she sets up one of those like containment rings.
Yeah.
Ritual rings. Dracula's jumping over it and then it just activates and then he's being just suspended in the air and he is contained by by this one ring made of coke.
Which is pretty funny.
Like I didn't expect that. Like the camera panned over to the coke and her looking at it. I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Did you see that happening?
I think so. Yeah. I was like, oh, because they had mentioned it at some point.
Oh, it was when they were arming up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Renfield was talking about, hey, what if we get one of these and we just need to read the right passage and it'll work? And she's like, we don't have time for that.
Right. And then once that happens, she explains to Renfield, like, oh, I read the Latin, whatever I had to read off to make it work in like a Wiccan blog.
A Wiccan Tumblr.
Or Tumblr, yeah, yeah.
And then the two of them just proceed to beat the shit out of Dracula.
Oh, yeah, with hammers and maces and
like you said, they're in a torture room that the Lobos use, and so there is every weapon at their disposal.
They shoot him. It's like a montage.
And there are some funny voiceovers where Renfield is saying, like, I don't know if this is actually going to do anything or what affects them because of things that have been said in the lore and the stories passed down. So right. just a little bit of everything. And yeah, they're pouring poison on them.
In holy water and like just anything.
And they manage to chop them into little pieces and then put them in like
ice. They mix them up with concrete and then they pour the concrete into ice trays and they make little tiny concrete cubes filled with different pieces of him and they dump them into like a big drain or something.
Yeah, or like a sewer or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we don't know if that'll hold him off, but
yeah,
at least it's stopping him for a little while.
Yeah.
After that happens, we see that Rebecca's sister is okay.
Mm-hmm.
They use Dracula's blood to bring her back from the dead.
They have like a big like lemonade pitcher and it just like on the side, there's a piece of tape with Sharpie that just says Dracula's blood.
Yeah, I like
that. Which again, this whole movie, it's like we talked about with The Babysitter. It's definitely like you can't think about the reasoning behind anything because none of it makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
It's just like this heightened level of, you know,
just roll with it.
Right.
And if you can't, I don't think you're going to like this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Renfield uses the blood to bring back everyone who died in the meeting group,
the support group.
And they're all like, we saw some shit. Can't go back from that.
Yeah.
And then again, at the end of this, there's that message of just like self-love and sticking up for yourself and doing better. And I thought it was a fun little note that they had going on throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess that's the movie, right?
Yep. Yeah. That's the end.
What happens to Rebecca?
End. I think it was just the thing with her sister.
Hmm.
And then it cuts to the support group. She's in the support group with him.
Right.
And her hair's all down and everything. And they talk about like, life.
And
blah, blah, blah. And then it ends, I think.
And that's our movie.
Yep.
Let's move into the final thoughts of this movie, Jeff. Question number one. Did you like this movie?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you have fun with it?
Yeah. I wouldn't go around telling people to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to see this movie. But it was fun.
Is this a movie you will watch again?
No, probably not.
It's one of those one and done.
It was a good kind of one-off popcorn movies. I'm glad I saw it.
Uh-huh.
I laughed a few times. Overall, there's not a lot, I don't think.
To go back to.
There's not a lot of like, ooh, look at this detail. Like it was pretty, like we were saying, the plot was pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline outside of like the comedy bits mm-hmm. was kind of generic and whatever. And honestly, like... Even like Rebecca's, I was like, I don't care about Rebecca's character, her story. Mm-hmm. Like, she's funny. Yeah, like, I didn't care about anybody.
Did you care about Renfield?
Not really. Everything was just a little bit too over the top, which was the point.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, but we're also going to do some sincere parts. And I'm like, but it's so over the top that I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it felt like a sketch almost through the whole thing. But it was like funny enough and entertaining enough that I think people should go see it. I just not going to watch it again.
All right. And final question. Is this a movie you would show somebody?
Not necessarily.
Yeah. I guess this kind of goes hand in hand with what you were saying.
Yeah. I maybe be like, yeah, you should check it out.
But you wouldn't watch it.
But again. I wouldn't sit someone down and be like, hey, let's watch this. It's so funny.
Yeah. I got to agree with you on that. I agree with you with a lot of things you're saying. I did enjoy this movie mm-hmm. for the most part, too. I thought it was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. The blood always surprised
way
me.
Way more than I thought.
Yeah. And I think it was because it was used so sparingly, but as soon as it happened, it was so excessive.
Mm-hmm.
I kept getting shocked, but that also like increased my enjoyment of it. I don't think this is a movie I really need to watch again. I think the first watch, we've kind of got everything that we needed out of it. Like, I'm glad we did watch it. It's
yeah, me too.
Enjoyable. And I like seeing Nick Cage. Nick Cage hammed it up so much in this movie. He was great in every scene he had. Like, it's movies Agreed. Like this where I'm like, Nicolas Cage is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though like he didn't have that like as big of a role as I thought he would, every time he appeared, he was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And he made his presence felt, which is what you should be doing when you're a Dracula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he added a lot of little interesting idiosyncrasies and stuff with the character. And mm-hmm. he did a lot of weird shit that was like, oh, that's not what I would have expected from a Dracula character.
It's hard to kind of distinguish, like just not see Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I'm just like, well, in this universe, this is what Dracula just looks like. Right. He just unfortunately resembles Nick Cage.
Yeah.
But again, that was great. Everything that he did in this, mm-hmm. his over the topness, just is like, it fits the tone of this movie. Is this a movie I would recommend? I might, if you're looking for something that's not like, it's dumb fun. If you're not looking for anything too like heavy, and like we mentioned, there's a surprisingly nice message mm-hmm. hidden within this horror comedy.
Yeah, if you're looking for like an easy, you don't have to think too much.
Yeah.
Just kind of sit and laugh a few times. And
I honestly wasn't sure how you were feeling about this movie. At a certain point, I think I looked over and I couldn't tell if you were like bored or just like.
I definitely wasn't bored. It was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, like I was saying, worth a watch for a lot of people. And there's a lot of really funny parts I wasn't expecting.
Same here.
Yeah.
I knew that there was going to be some like humor within it just because of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see certain people like, oh, there's going to be.
Right. It's like, oh, most of these people are comedians.
And a lot of it wasn't over the top, like unnecessary or just mm-hmm. heavy handed,
right.
which I appreciated.
Me too.
Because we had, you know, I might put this on par with The Babysitter in that. I mean, we have.
Me too. Similar. Yeah.
It's in that like unbelievable world where you just got to go with it. It's very over the top when things happen. It's like, boom. And yeah, don't think about it too much.
McKay and McG
hand in hand.
Very similar vibe.
The one thing I will say this did better was the humor than The Babysitter.
Agreed.
That one, like we said, just a little too over the top with pushing a joke in your face.
Yeah.
So yeah, this one landed pretty well for me.
Yeah, you're right. This is logic wise. This is The Babysitter, but it's just a funnier Babysitter.
With Dracula.
With Dracula.
Well, like we said, we are not going to do a favorite killer death. We're going to do an account. I guess, do you have a favorite killer death? At least one of like the big ones that stuck out?
I think probably really early on in the intro scene,
mm-hmm.
there's a scene we kind of glossed over where Dracula, he's fighting these two vampire hunters, which we brought up briefly. Mm-hmm. One is like a priest, an old school priest, and one is more like a Van Helsing character.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Dracula turns into smoke and flies into the priest's mouth. And then the priest just fucking explodes.
I fucking forgot about
that.
That
was probably my favorite because it was like, huh?
Yeah.
It was like, so because I didn't know the whole movie was going to be that at this point.
Uh-huh.
It was like that just fucking exploded.
And they did not hold back on that explosion. Yeah, it was like, too.
And just blood everywhere, and
you see a head go flying.
It was just shocking, and like it made me laugh.
And like we said, that does like showcase some of Dracula's powers. Mm-hmm. He can turn into fucking mist. Or
yeah,
fog,
so it was kind of cool. And then yeah, it kind of reminded me of Fright Night a little bit.
Yeah,
and we get an overly dramatic and gruesome, comically bloody kill right off the bat. So that's probably my favorite. What about you?
I gotta say, it was the man who got his arms ripped off when like all the police and the mm-hmm. logo showed up at his apartment, at Renfield's apartment. There is just something awesome about watching a man, just a torso, stumble backwards someone is holding his arms. Then you see the arms used like to beat people, and then these arms used as javelins.
Yeah.
It's all like one big thing for me. A little bit of a spoiler for Evil Dead Rise. There is a character in that who also gets their arms ripped off. And I, as soon as that happened in Renfield, I was like, this is the second time I've seen this in 5 days. Yeah. So I was like, love that.
Yeah, come on. What does this say about the kind of movies that I watch?
Yeah. And as his arms were pulled off, explosion of blood.
Oh, of course.
Came shooting out. And the man was still somehow alive for a little bit too. Probably just barely.
Yeah.
But that was for sure one of my favorites. I think
good choice.
His head crushed at one point, but.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, Jeff, let's move into the rating of this movie.
Out of 6 little bugs from a tiny wooden coffin, how many little bugs would you put in your little coffin for this movie?
I will give this 3 little bugs in a wooden coffin.
That's what I was going to say.
6 wooden bugs.
3's across the board.
Again, it's not bad. There are some really good elements, but once you've seen it, you really don't need to.
It just wasn't super standout.
And I had fun with it.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm like you mentioned, I'm not going out of my way to tell people to see it. Like,
yeah.
Go see Evil Dead Rise. Yes. This, if you have time, if you're bored, just a little something to put on in the background.
It's weird. It's part of me, this might be too like outside of, I think Dracula was really well acted, like we said, in the the practical effects were really cool. Outside of that, a lot of the bloodiness and the fights and stuff felt honestly like something I would see on like YouTube or like an SNL sketch. Something about it was just like,
do you think maybe with the way it was filmed?
Well, it was filmed, the blood effects were just kind of copy and pasted on.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and then we'll have blood splash this way, but it's like the same amount for any kind of wound because they want it to be so much.
Yeah.
But then it just turned into like CG blood spraying everywhere. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. And people punching each other. And there's some cool, like you're saying, the arms being thrown, but a lot of it was kind of like, I kind
of
get it.
And I do feel like a lot of the blood was CG, not a lot of it was totally practical, which you notice it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one thing that I'm like, that's a little disappointing. But because there was so much of it, I was like, I guess this sort of makes up for it. You know, I got to find that middle ground.
Yeah. And then you have like the evolving makeup of Dracula, and that kind of makes up for it too. That was really cool.
Yeah. The practical effects on Nick Cage, mm-hmm. the Dracula, everything about him, I think looked fantastic.
Yeah. He looked great.
Just the depiction of Dracula in this was awesome.
That was probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah. And I do wish we had seen more of Nick Cage's Dracula because, you know, I would watch a whole movie about a Nick Cage's Dracula.
Yeah.
So long as it was kind of in line with this, not like a more serious type.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little bit of the goofy while also just like, I'm going to take over the world. And I'm also a little sassy.
I think it would be a great show.
Uh-huh.
Dracula, Nick Cage Dracula as a show.
I'd watch
that. In fact,
that.
I forgot, on the way into the movie, we saw your friend working and he had something to say about the movie. We wish we would have recorded him, but we weren't thinking about it at the moment. But
yeah, it was about how Robert Kirkman, I think he wrote some of the story for this, mm-hmm. or maybe he came up with the original idea. You may recognize that name from The Walking Dead. He was the writer and creator of that.
Mm-hmm. He also one of the producers of this movie.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had a hand in that. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, give us a Nick Cage Dracula show.
Yeah. When we were walking in and we're like, so how did you like the movie? And he was kind of like, it was good.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a big fan of the original Dracula. So
definitely not that.
And we're kind of like, okay, good to know.
Yeah. I mean, I was going in this movie with those.
Totally, me too.
With those expectations.
Yeah, I wasn't like surprised by his answer. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, and it maybe lowered my expectations a little bit more, which didn't hurt, but I definitely just knew this was going to be much more goofy.
Yeah, I would have been much more surprised if his answer was like, oh man, get ready, it's so good. I'd be like, really? Yeah. Okay, that's not what I'm expecting.
And then I think coming out of that, I would have been disappointed.
Oh, totally.
So that worked out well for us. So I feel really bad because we did not mention the actor who played the head of the Lobo family. I'm probably going to butcher this name. It is Shohreh Agdaslu. She played Bella Francesca Lobo. Yeah. I feel bad because I think she also was great in this movie.
Oh, me too. Yeah, you're right.
She plays just a great head of a crime family. She's mm-hmm. so like stone cold. While
her
also,
voice too alone.
Again, I did butcher that name and I'm so sorry.
I don't recognize her name, honestly, but I recognize her voice and her face from a ton of stuff.
She has been in plenty of things. She was in some of the Star Trek movies. She was in 24.
Wait, did you say what kind of movies?
The
Star Trek movies.
I
love that that was not intentional. We really did just want to mention her name.
Yeah, because like, I mean, she is brilliant. Like you said, her voice is, you would recognize it immediately, but it is so like terrifying too. Mm-hmm. And I just needed to give that a shout out because she deserved it in this. I feel like a lot, like the villains in this movie were great.
Oh, totally. Also, I'm maybe biased, but Ben Schwartz was maybe the highlight of the movie for me. And Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And she was great. So no hate to Awkwafina, but
she's fine.
She was fine. Her character just didn't have much to her.
And that lends more into my 3 out of 6 bugs and wooden caskets.
Right.
Like this is the story. The writing wasn't, it was subpar.
It was fine. Yeah. The comedic writing was great. Mm-hmm. And then everything else kind of fell flat.
A very generic story that you could kind of replace a lot of these characters with.
It's like, just make it a full comedy at that point. And then I'd be laughing all the way through.
Unless that ruins it.
Yeah, totally. Oh, is it time?
I think it is, Jeff.
For
everyone's favorite segment.
The world famous segment
of this show.
Tops or bottoms?
Like it or hate it. one star review and 1 5-star review of this movie.
All right, we're going to start off with a 5-star review from user Econon. Hey, you got to warn me when Shorey Adashlu is in stuff. She makes me feel things. Also, are you telling me they waited in that long ass line for beignets? Absolutely not. And Cafe Du Monde doesn't have seating up there. 5 stars.
That's a 5-star review.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, a lot of these 5-star reviews are a little critical, if you ask me.
So it's funny that you also happen to try and say the name of that one actor who I also couldn't say the name of.
Yeah, that's rough. Cool name.
Great name. And also, once again, great casting choice.
Totally.
She was fantastic in this. For the 1-star review from user Addy T2T, it was pretty bad. It had its funny moments, but there weren't enough of them. I thought I was going to see a horror spoof comedy about Nicolas Cage's dumb Dracula, but instead I watched a gory movie that was trying too hard to be a serious horror movie when it wasn't trying to be a rom-com and exhausting me between the two. Why was there so much blood? I mean, it's a Dracula movie, so obviously, but I wasn't expecting people's arms to get ripped off so graphically and frequently. So ends my streak of decent horror movies lately. LOL. 1 star.
It's kind of a weird review there. It goes back and forth a little bit.
It does. I did not think it was really trying to be a serious horror movie at any point.
Me neither.
Maybe because it seems like this user did not like blood and expect that much blood.
That was the part that confused me. They're like, I mean, why is there so much blood in it? And they're like, well, it is a movie about Dracula. I'm like, yep, just answer your own question.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and I don't like the arms being ripped off. Anyway, just finishing my streak of horror movies. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want here? You know?
And what movies did you watch that, you know, was keeping your streak going? Because I'm curious.
What
personally.
Kind of horror movies? Yeah.
Anyways. I do like that they mentioned the arms being pulled off because that was my favorite.
Yeah, silly goose.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, that brings us into the ending bit of the episode. Why don't you do what you do best and tie this on up like a blood bag.
A bag
filled with blood.
What I do best is tying up blood bags?
For Dracula, because you're like Renfield.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Follow us on Instagram at Hurwitz's House of Horror. Follow me on Instagram. Not Instagram. Follow me on Instagram.com at Art of Jefferson. Follow Ugly Cowboy at Ugly Cowboy Co.
You're always posting great artwork of yours up there. It's really cool.
Posting government secrets.
Usual.
Regular stuff. Buy merchandise like the official Hurwitz's House of Horror stabbing house tee or the Jeff Whitey at HurwitzsHouseOfHorror.com.
A classic.
Rate and review the podcast on all the podcasting places. Rate it 5 stars. And if you leave a review, we'll read it on the podcast. You can leave a 5-star review and then just write in, dang, look at that hairy butt. I'd like to give that one a little quick spank. And we'll read that right off on the podcast.
Believe it or not, all of those reviews and those ratings really do help us out. So we would really appreciate it if you guys did that. Give us a call at the Hot Take Hotline at 916-538-4412.
Let us know what you thought of Renfield or The Babysitter or Friday the 13th.
Night or of the Dead, any of our previous episodes. Just
Halloween.
Leave us a little hello or a little goodbye. Or if you have any ideas on future episodes you'd like us to cover, let us know. Again, leave us a message or just send us a DM.
Yeah, tell us a secret. It is anonymous, except, you know, if people can recognize your voice, you're going to be in big trouble.
And finally, you can reach us at hurwitzshouseofhorror@gmail.com for any of those more old-fashioned handwritten emails that we've been getting from the year 1997.
Yeah.
Because we travel in time. We're time travelers.
You get an email that says, hello.
That'd be cool, man.
Yeah. I hope so.
Jeff, can you tell us what movie we'll be covering on next week's episode?
Yeah, I can. Let me not look at the calendar right behind me because I have a really good memory and I remember. Next movie we're going to be doing is Resident Evil, right?
Welcome to Raccoon City.
Yeah. I like raccoons. Are there lots of raccoons in that one?
I don't want to give anything raccoons. Away. I don't want to spoil anything.
And they just eat cotton candy.
They could.
And cucumbers.
Is this because you had a raccoon costume for Halloween a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I was in the movie.
You were.
Yeah, I just kept the costume from the set.
And then your wife was trash?
A bag of trash, yeah. She's a good sport.
Without a doubt. Hey, Skylar, how's it going?
Hey. Thanks for being a bag of trash for Halloween. So I could be a raccoon.
All right. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Please tell everyone you know about this podcast so they can give it a listen and they can be in on these long-running, awful jokes that we have. We'll see you back here next week. And Jeff, as we say at the end of every episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror, I'm a Dracula. Blah.
I want to suck your butt.
Blah.